Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show. God bless you today. Part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Man alive, so much is happening. And I'm going to blow you away here with about a half an hour of good news. You ready for that? Probably, hopefully. It gets a little tougher and rougher after that. But I've kind of stacked these things in the order of increased joy and happiness, if I could say it that way. So let's launch. This seems like a minor thing, but I've got so many friends and loved ones in California. Some of them have left. Most of them are still there because of the weather or other reasons. I kind of get it, kind of. But anyway, this is good news. Bed Bath & Beyond, a store that I would only shop at. Not that it was a bad store. It's just that there was nothing there that, frankly, appealed to me. They don't sell guns. They don't sell ammo. They don't sell fishing equipment. Okay, you get the idea. I would go there, though, however, when I was in desperate need of a birthday present or a Christmas present for my wife or to augment existing presents I had planned for her, right? I'd wander around the store, look like I was lost, looking for something to just strike my fancy. I'd make sure that I could return it because there was about a 102% chance my wife would return it, as is the case with pretty much anything I've ever gotten her. But they went bankrupt, but they pulled out of it. They're starting to open stores again. They came out yesterday and said, no way are we going to open or operate any stores in the state of California. Here's the middle finger of diplomacy, California, and you, Gavin Grissom, and all your whack job Democrats in Sacramento who want to eliminate all Republicans from the state representation to the U.S. House. Forget it. Now, they didn't cite those political reasons, but they basically were political. Taxes, regulations, business punishment of businesses. I'll tell you, yeah, I guess you can pay the high price for the sunny days, but there's some other things in life, and that's what a lot of people and companies are realizing. And I just kind of throw on top of that, I mentioned this briefly a couple weeks ago, the statistics of people leaving California versus those going to California. And it may not be any surprise. I think this is good news. That a state that's as blue as, in fact, it's code blue. People said, oh, California could be turning red. Forget it. There is no way it's going to go red. There'll be civil war there before it's red. But the fact is that and I think this is good news, the number of conservatives moving out of the state and Republicans far exceeds Republicans and conservatives moving into the state. So people are voting with their feet. We got no future here. They're going to get worse on business. And you know, they'll never get it like any Democrats ever get it unless they've been spanked to the point of claiming child abuse. Well, they got to get spanked really, really hard and again and harder. Because that's all they understand is a financial spanking. They want control, and they want complete, absolute control. But on the other flip side of this, that the people leaving, there are far more Republicans and conservatives leaving the state than are moving in. Here's the flip side. This study revealed that there are far more Democrats moving into the state than are moving out. Now, that's good news for people like me who have sought exile, if you will, in Arizona, still doing business in California, but exiled here in Arizona, and other states like Nevada, that there are more Republicans coming to these states than Democrats. That will, I hope, help ensure that Arizona stays, for the most part, red, and Nevada, for the most part, red. Of course, we don't know for sure that all of these things may have happened simply because of the unique, enigmatic Donald Trump. And when he's no longer on the scene, maybe things go back to the way they were. But to me, moving more Democrats into a state that's already code blue and Republicans getting out of California, to me, is great. It's good news. Pack all the extra Democrats in a state where their electoral advantage by having more Democrats is meaningless because it's already overwhelmingly Democratic. So that's good news, number two. And moving along to number three, I found it really interesting how the left tries to make news of stuff that isn't news. And then when there is no news, they make it up. Whether it's Joy Reid or, goodness sake, the list is a gazillion miles long of people sort of fighting for some respect by just getting more stupid, more woke, more immoral. So in a failed attempt to deal with Trump's militarization, if you will, of Washington, D.C., because I think there are five or six states now that have National Guard there, and the streets are safer, crime is going down. They say that, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer was saying, well, you know, I could walk down the streets there and there's no problem. Well, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer has 10 bodyguards or whatever with assault weapons that none of us can have, but he gets to have. So, Chuck E. Cheese, who are you planning to assault? No, you're using them for defense. So why is your sorry tush worth defending, but ours isn't? By the same weapons you use to defend yours. They will never get in that debate because they can't win it. They have no defense for it. But the attack against Trump here was rooted in the fact that supposedly crime had already been descending significantly in D.C. before Trump took over. That filled the airwaves for how long? About a week. Some are still who are somewhere out in the ozone, not reading anything that has developed recently, are still saying that. But here's the deal. Washington, D.C., headline, quietly settles lawsuit with police officer who exposed the manipulation of crime statistics. Gee, what a coinky dink. What a surprise. Who'd have thunk it? My goodness sakes. D.C. quietly. So they're not telling anybody they're selling it. And the mainstream media, the legacy media, they're not talking about it because they just point to themselves as liars and hypocrites. So was crime down? Of course not. They're settling the lawsuit. If this guy was lying saying that the stats were manipulated and he was lying about it, meaning that the statistics were not manipulated and crime really was going down, why are they paying this guy money to shut up and go away? I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Why are you guys paying all this money to an officer who supposedly lied if, in fact, your crime was going down, when in reality you did manipulate the statistics to try to prove that crime was going down when it was going up, and you had to pay a bunch of moolah, a bunch of greenbacks? Oh, it couldn't happen to a nicer city to get stuck with that thing. And speaking of Washington, D.C., and still on the path of good news, you know what? I'm not going to go down there. All right. So the last is good news. To me, this next one is great news. And it's followed by even greater news. If you wanted to get a gun permit in Washington, D.C., you had to take these classes, blah, 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 which, okay, I got a concealed carry permit. I had to take classes. Don't regret it. I'm okay taking a refresher this fall. I would love that. Sharpen my skills. Be aware of changes in the law. Nothing wrong with that. But it took, if you could get the gun permit in D.C., if, it was typically between $700 and $800 and took 4 to 5 months. That would seem to be a little bit late for the pregnant woman who refuses her boyfriend's demand to abort the baby. It seems like that's a little late for her to be able to defend herself. Like the story I just read from the other day here. The woman, somebody breaks into her house, and she's petrified. She hears it. It's late at night. She goes into a closet with her young child, into a closet to hide. And the guy opens up the closet, and she toasts him, blows his brains away, and he's deader than a doornail. As it should be. That's biblical. Somebody comes into your house at night. Very clear in Scripture. You can kill them. Because you don't know what they have. You don't know if they got a knife, a pea shooter, an AK-47, a sledgehammer. But they aren't coming in there to sip coffee with you. And they've obviously considered the possibility of stumbling onto an occupant. So in the back of the mind of the thief is that they may have to kill you. It's always there. And why? Because, well, the person in the house, if they aren't killed, they become the only witness to the crime. You don't want to get convicted of one crime, kill the only witness to that crime. So she toasted him. Biblical way to go. Well, anyway, I digress because I liked that topic. The waiting period has now been reduced, thank you to Donald Trump. God bless this guy. From the typical 4 to 5 months to 5 days. 5 days. 5 days. So this pregnant woman who refuses to abort this baby upon the demand of her loser boyfriend who doesn't want to pay child support, but he wants his girlfriend to kill the child, she actually could call the guy and say, look, I have an appointment set up for an abortion in 10 days. Go out, get the gun permit, got a little time how to use it properly, have somebody show her. And then she doesn't do anything when the guy calls and says, hey, have you aborted your child? She said, no, I've changed my mind. And then he comes a-calling, and she's in the closet. And you know the rest of the story. You see, this saves lives. Absolutely. I mean, Trump here, he's got so much support. It's unbelievable. So he launched the Making DC Safe and Beautiful Task Force. This is all the way back in March. But by mid-August, the task force had reduced the average wait time down to the 5 days, with next day and walk-in appointments for firearm registration. Now, you still got to register your firearm, but I'd rather have a registered one than none at all. Now, they still are limited as to where they can take the gun, but at least they can get it quickly to defend themselves in their home, around their property, in similar areas. Can you handle all this good news? Well, I'm thrilled. I'm going to throw this one in because even as I'm talking, it just popped up on my computer. It couldn't be any fresher, even though I'm taping this program. You know Trump's $500 million civil fraud penalty by Letitia James, the one who's guilty now, we know it, of mortgage fraud, just like Adam Schiff. All these Democrats who are fake are responsible for mortgage fraud. Isn't it interesting that they're getting strung out for mortgage fraud for the thing that Letitia James tried to convict Donald Trump of, the $500 million civil fraud penalty for supposedly faking things, which he did not. New York's appeal court tossed the $500 million penalty. It tossed it. Now, so for something for you to understand, this is kind of quirky in California, in New York. The highest court in the land is called the appeals court, not the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in New York sits below the appeals court. So I thought you should know that so that you think, well, gosh, it's the appeals court. Now the city is going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. No, the Supreme Court is lower. It came up from the Supreme Court to the appeals court. It doesn't go any higher unless it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And since this is a civil fraud case exclusively under New York law, I think that there is no possibility of this happening. And Letitia James is busy keeping her fat rear end out of jail. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have. I despise people who corrupt the political system. I can say that because that means they're liars. Adam Schiff is a liar. Mortgage fraud. He claims two personal residences, one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast. And why would he claim it to be a personal residence? Because when you apply for a mortgage, you get a better mortgage rate if it's your personal residence as opposed to a second home or a vacation home. Simple, easy, and he was out to rip them up. Oh, they'll never question me. I'm Adam Schiff. Yeah, well, now he's lawyering up. He's getting all kinds of lawyers to defend himself. Maybe everybody that's a Democrat in political office in California ought to lawyer up. Next piece of good news. Man, it just doesn't quit. This good news is going to take me all the way to the break, maybe. This is, and as horrific as the state of Minnesota is. From the Minnesota Vikings and their queer as $3 bill male cheerleaders, I'm not going to watch a Vikings game. Forget them. And there are 11 teams now in the NFL. I'm ready to just write off the NFL. Screw them. I don't want to watch and support on TV organizations that continue to demoralize through their immorality the country and be that kind of an influence. Somebody said to me one time, he said, so you think you should be able to impose your morality on the country? And I responded to him, I said, well, that's better than you imposing your immorality upon the country. If something's going to get imposed, should it be morality or immorality? You choose. That guy had nothing to say. Well, anyway, the court, there's a guy, let me back up. This story is pretty cool. There was a guy by the name of, what is his name here? All of a sudden it escaped me. Anthony Schmidt. He taught a class in Minnesota prisons called Authentic Manhood. Now, I have taught a few things in California prisons very similar to that topic, because understand that men in these prisons, about 90% of them had no fathers. And they were, their fathers dealt them short shrift or they never met them, what have you. All young men seek respect more than they seek love. That's a fact. Write it down, women. Men desire respect more than they desire love. Occasionally, food rises to the top of that chart, depending upon how long it's been. But I did, these men needed to be taught authentic manhood. I didn't call it that. I only did about 3 or 4 lessons. Greatly fulfilling for me. And I think at least to some of the men. So this is what Anthony Schmidt was doing before COVID. Well, COVID came along, couldn't get in, just like everything else. But when he wanted to come back in and resume the program, as the story goes here, quote, social activists in the state prison system canceled his lessons because they did not comply with leftist ideologies of DEI, that being diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm going to stop there with that quote. Isn't it interesting that in the name of inclusion, they become advocates materially involved in exclusion? We're going to exclude this guy in the name of inclusion. We're going to exclude his ideas in the name of diversity. How do you get more? How do you establish diversity by reducing the ideas in the prison? The program, it says here, was upfront in its description. Authentic manhood is all about setting men up to live lives of truth, passion, and purpose. Our resources offer clear and practical biblical insights on God's design for manhood that are both refreshing and inspiring. We point men to a gospel-centered vision of life that sets them up to enjoy God's grace as they pursue the promises of His Word. This is fabulous. It had great response by the men in the prison. Let me show a show of hands by the women in the audience. How many women in the listening audience would support a program like this, that men get godly, men develop biblical manhood? Yep, I see all of them. But the program director, Jolene, I'll tell you, I don't want to get on a man-woman thing, but the worst judges we have happen to be female at the Supreme Court. Three out of the four are horrible. This is true at the state level in many cases. This is a prison person running this thing, Jolene Ribertas. She said that the health recovery and programming became alarmed because, in her opinion, the program directly conflicts with diversity, equity, and inclusion values of the department by defining manhood or the study of masculinity through a biblical lens of what a real man looks like, which can be hurtful and downright dangerous! Exclamation or end quote. Where's the good news in this? The Supreme Court of Minnesota, which does not support this guy, said, prison system, you denied this man his First Amendment rights. You've made a decision in violation of his rights to free speech and free exercise. You've established a denominational preference in violation of the Establishment Clause. And you have decided that you can partake in content-based discrimination. No, Anthony Schmidt, you get to go back into the prison system and teach biblical manhood. Ah, what a great story. I love that. Now, for, I think, before we get to James Comey, as if I want to get to that loser, feckless, left-wing weenie. That's all he is. He's tall, but he's a weenie. He is. I find inspiration in Taylor Swift. I find when everybody's beating up on me, meaning when I'm not an authority, that if I can channel Taylor Swift, I'm inspired. I sit up straighter. I'm back to being 6'5". I become a man again. Who cares about biblical manhood when you got Taylor Swift around? Well, I am going to preface this next story by restating something that I've said in different times, referencing a couple of things that I'm still absolutely convinced that the United States will split post-Trump. It will split out of necessity because you can only be ruled by force or by consent. And when the left comes back in, especially if you got a Gavin Newsom or geez, anybody. Maybe less so if a Josh Shapiro were the candidate. But nonetheless, it's going to be bad. And I have said that I believe that the country is going to split. I have said many times that I think the first state to go, to lead the pack, which is interesting because it doesn't have a seaport. It's landlocked. It has oil and gas, and it says oil and gas refineries, certainly has that. On the western part of the state, the eastern side of the state, you can grow crops. It's surrounded by states that generally support it, excluding New Mexico and Colorado, which are at the far western end, but it's got Texas to the south, Arkansas, Missouri to the east, and Kansas to the north. That is the great and sovereign state of Oklahoma, the Sooner state. And I don't want to be somebody who spouts off and doesn't put my money where my mouth is. I've said in the past, if you had some extra money to invest, find a good state and buy a piece of dirt. Buy some interest connected to that state so that if and when they leave, you have a right to move to that state because you have property there. So I bought something, probably the tail end of last year. It was probably about November of last year. I bought the tiniest little thing I could buy in Oklahoma that I could afford. And I probably will expand on that. Do I plan to live there? No, but could I live there? Yes. I used to live there. I wasn't the worst place. It was the best. It's a lot of wind, a lot of snakes. And my biggest issue were windblown snakes. Well, give something to shoot with your gun because you can carry in that state. This state has embarked upon something that thrills me to no end. They have a superintendent of education by the name of Ryan Walters. Ryan Walters, not, it's got an S on the end. Ryan Walters. This guy is so good. He is so squared away. He is so uncompromising. And at the state level, now at the national level, no. But at the state level, I'm going to tell you, the most important, influential public office is the state superintendent of education. Education. It's where everything has gone wrong in this country. With a drivel that masquerades as higher education. With a National Education Association who set as its goal institutionalized mediocrity. The education system sucks, and I will tell people all the time, get your kids out, your grandkids out. I work because I need to work for a particular reason. I need to work mentally. I am no good with too much time off. After about 48 hours, I'm looking at real estate or something, wherever I am, I'm vacationing or doing something. I just have to be. It's hard for me to relax for an extended period of time. However, the financial aspect of me continuing to work, which I'm not a wealthy guy, but God has blessed me. Let me just put it that way. I am not wealthy, but God has blessed me, would be to continue to be able to generate extra funds to make sure that no grandchild of mine, and maybe someday if I live long enough, maybe a great-grandchild, will ever see a government school. Nope, they don't get my kids or grandkids. Of course, it requires cooperation from your children. Unfortunately, my sons are all in on the idea of never seeing a government school. But if you had to go to a government school, the state of Oklahoma would be where you would go. And it's partly because of this policy that they have just instituted by Ryan Walters that I hope becomes a template for guts. First of all, I hope that other good Christian people run for state school superintendent in other states and do the same thing. We'll cover it when we get back. Don't go away.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Yes, Miss Ride on the Detroit Wheels. You know, someday when I don't have enough material, I don't know when that'll be because I always try to fit an hour and a half of material into an hour program. I'm going to play the whole song. What the hey? I mean, why not? Okay, we're talking about Oklahoma, the Sooner State. And I would sooner be there than many, many other places in the United States, even though it's not the best climate, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But here's what Ryan Walters has done. He's a public schools chief. He has announced that teachers that come so far, this could expand, but teachers that come from California and New York are going to need to pass an exam to document and make sure that they are not ideologically warped. Oh, my gosh. He said, this is the plan. We're going to weed out radical leftist ideology, and we're going to start with teachers coming from out of state. This is just, what an incredible idea. And I want to quote a couple of his tweets. All right, you got Trump who is, well, Trump is Trump. All right, need I say more? The guy tweets 27 hours a day. I don't know when the guy ever sleeps. He follows everything and a lot of stuff he probably should not. Just give it up, Donald. Don't need to mess with that, but that's who that guy is. And his style, as you have probably been reading, Gavin Newsom is now trying to replicate, doing things in all caps, photoshopping Gavin with a bunch of muscles riding a horse on a couple of swords. You see, I hope it fails. Some Democrats love it. I hope it fails and fails miserably. That this guy's phony. He's a fake. He's a weenie. Trump does that because that is really who Trump is. But that's not who Newsom is. The guy's a weenie. He's a feckless left-wing weenie. And that will be, I would like to think, his undoing. But unless people are so starved on the left that they'll take a hypocrite before somebody with morals, I don't know. That could be the way it goes. But this is what Newsom did not anticipate. So Trump launches, you know, one tirade after another. He's not running for office. He's in office. And the tirades don't advance his agenda. Let me just put it that way. So, but nonetheless, Gavin Newsom, who for some reason thinks that Trump is running in 2028, is after him by imitating him, doing parodies of him, becoming really incredibly obnoxious. I mean, when Morning Joe Scarborough shreds Newsom for his antics, you know he's got to be doing something wrong. But Ryan Walters, state school superintendent in Oklahoma, Now, he's not ranting like Trump does. He's a controlled guy. But he's taking what Newsom is doing to Trump, he's taking it right back to Newsom. But a little more civilized, but he's not holding back. Here's one of his recent tweets. Hey, Gavin Newsom, in case you missed it, Oklahoma classrooms don't need your woke social justice warriors. Keep them in California. Oh, my gosh. Do you see why we're kind of leading towards civil war, maybe secession, certainly? There's the divide is just growing. And then he comes back and a follow-up tweet here by Ryan Walters says, we're proud to launch our America First test with PragerU. Now, I follow PragerU. It's a great little, they give you 5-minute snippets on an American morals and constitutional based look at education, economics. The brainchild of Dennis Prager, who you might pray for. I think he has some health issues right now. But Walters went to PragerU to put together something called the America First Test. And in this tweet, let me finish the tweet and I'll get to the test. It says, proud to launch our America First Test with PragerU. We will make sure only the best and brightest are teaching in Oklahoma classrooms, not Marxist indoctrinators. Wow. Bring it on. How do you win a fight unless you get engaged in the fight? Coming here from the Washington Examiner, which is a reasonably based paper, said the newcomers from New York and California will need to pass a test conducted by PragerU, the nonprofit founded by radio host Dennis Prager, that is known for its short videos advocating for traditional American values and mores. Walters says, as long as I am superintendent, Oklahoma classrooms will be safeguarded from the radical leftist ideology fostered in places like California and New York. The requirement will be implemented very soon, as stated by department spokesman Quinton Hitchcock. There are going to be 50 questions on the test, and it's a civics test dealing with Congress and reciting from the Constitution. There will be questions about why religion, freedom of religion is important and more. This is just incredible. I mean, I love this. And of course, you know, there's going to be pushback. Walters was on CNN and he said, quote, we will not allow these leftist plans and schemes to take place here in Oklahoma. They are trying to warp the minds of our kids to turn them into social justice warriors instead of kids that are getting the most of their God-given talents to go get a job and to go live a fulfilling life. End quote. I'll tell you, childhood education is my number one thing on my list. Child abuse, all those things, getting kids away from people that are abusing mentally, physically, spiritually, socially. And they are abused in government schools. The government schools are guilty of child abuse, child neglect, and child endangerment. All of those three being various degrees of misdemeanors and maybe felonies in states. Certainly some child abuse is definitely a felony. So we bring in Randy Weingarten, the chief of the American Federation of Teachers, who's just a politicized left-wing rat. She said, quote, I actually really like what she said for reasons. different than the for which she said them, this mega loyalty test will be yet another turnoff for teachers in a state that needs teachers. What she's saying is, this is going to be a big turnoff for teachers from California and New York to go there. Voila! Exactly! Mission accomplished! She just admitted they won't want to go there and even take the test. That'll keep them out. She thinks this is a really bad development because Oklahoma needs teachers. Here, newsflash, every state needs teachers. Every state needs teachers in the government schools because the good teachers don't go there because they know that their hands are tied, their mouth is taped, and their brains are tapped for what they might be thinking that they want to do and share with kids from a morally righteous position. But we don't even have to get to the test. The whole bunch of them are going to sort of like, kind of like self-deport, but they'll self-emigrate before they actually immigrate, right? God. I think you know what I mean. I think I know what I mean, but I only think I do. But that's the whole idea, keep these teachers out. Now, the state has been involved in another deal, which has gotten put on hold by the courts, but the state plans to purchase Bibles. The kids do not have to study the Bible, but a requirement that Bibles be placed in the classrooms for student study if they so desire. See, it's not forced on them. That one is still kind of working its way through. But I love this head-on battle, the forces of righteousness against the forces of evil, the forces of light against darkness. And Oklahoma has set the standard, and I hope other states will follow that standard. Okay, I spent more time on that, but that's kind of the end of my good news. All right, so well, anyway, I don't think I really want to say anything more about Comey. What a joke. What an embarrassment. Any former director of the FBI who thinks that the ticket to stress release is channeling the morally deranged Taylor Swift has got problems thinking. I mean, I'm thinking the former head of the FBI channels Taylor Swift and gets his encouragement and inspiration from a gal who supports queer marriage and all that other crap that she does. Sheesh. Well, good riddance, James. I hope you go to jail. And I hope you share that prison cell with Barack Obama, Adam Schiff, Letitia James. Oh my gosh, we don't want to leave out Anthony Fauci. Because like I said, if Anthony's in that cell, all these people could then form a kind of like a 60s retro band called Tony and the Faucinistas. And they'd be a hit in prison. Okay, so the whole global intifada crapola from the Palestinians is going, it's just going ridiculously crazy. Which we know it means murder Jews, kill Jews, get rid of Israel. They try to say it only means resistance. Well, from river to the sea, does that mean resistance or mean elimination? You know, there may come a time. You think there'll ever come a time when the safest place to live in this world is in Israel? Because only their existence is actually biblically promised and established. Ah, man alive. And I hate to see some people sort of turn on Israel. Tucker Carlson, what a surprise. The guy is becoming incrementally, I'm not saying he's anti-Semite. He's anti-Semitic. It's in there somewhere, Rob. Pull it out. But he seems to be drifting in that direction. They're chanting global intifada. The intifada is an uprising involving violence against anything and everything that's supportive of the nation of Israel. Tucker Carlson embarrassed himself tremendously in an interview of Ted Cruz. I mean, he's getting on Cruz because Cruz said, well, hey, Tucker asked him, well, why do you support Israel? He said, well, I support Israel because growing up in Sunday school, the Bible said that those who bless Israel will be blessed, those who curse Israel will be cursed. And Tucker said, well, where does it say that in Genesis? Well, that's interesting because Cruz never said it came from Genesis. He didn't know really where it came from. Tucker knows about it. He knows it's in the book of Genesis, but it's actually also in Genesis a couple of times. And then it's also, I think, in the book of Numbers. So it's not a one-time deal with Abraham in Genesis 12. But Tucker gets on Cruz because he doesn't know the chapter and verse. He doesn't know the precise address. Well, where is that in Genesis? Well, he said, well, I don't know, I don't know exactly where it is. Well, it seemed like if that's your political strategy or that's your mantra, you'd know what supports that. Oh, and I don't know. Tucker's trying too hard to be relevant. But the fact of the matter is Hamas, everything Palestinian, there is to the death and destruction of Israel. It is a call to violence against Israeli and Jewish people across the world. We know that. October 7, 2023. And, well, you know what? I'd like to go on with that, but I'm going to run out of time here. One last thing here on Gavin Newsom. I want to get back to him briefly. His call for a special election. The Supreme Court in California violates the law because they're not requiring him to fulfill the law that requires a 30-day notice of the legislation before it can be acted upon by voters. Supreme Court shot it down in California. Said, oh my gosh, we got to help Gavin Newsom restore balance. So what does Gavin Newsom do to restore balance? What he's saying is this. We need to save democracy. And the only way we can save democracy is by eliminating or attempting to eliminate all the Republican seats to the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. That's right. We've got to get rid of our opposition to preserve democracy. You know, I think that 50-question test that the state of Oklahoma is giving out to teachers that want to teach there if they come from California should be given not only to legislators, it should be given to governors like Gavin Newsom. It's just incredible. I got to get to something here. I'm pushing stuff aside that I want to cover because I want to get back to the Trump deal here with Putin. You heard me being a little bit hard on the Donald, as I am when he needs to be. He doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. He wants to talk about what he's going to accomplish as if it's already accomplished. When I'm done with this, this is what it's going to be. And more often than not, he's not pulling it off. He's not making it happen. I mean, and what he's doing is, sadly, Trump is actually writing the headlines for left-wing outlets because all they got to do is quote him. I'm going to solve this Ukraine-Russian war in day one. Well, where we are, 8 months into the presidency, we're no closer. In fact, he comes back after the Alaska meeting and said, we're closer than ever. No, we didn't get it, but we're closer than ever. I think we're going to have a deal. And what does Russia do? Russia unloads on Ukraine with a record number of missiles and drones. They're bombing the absolute daylights out of Ukraine. So much so that yesterday, a Russian missile hit a U.S. factory. It wasn't an accident. That's Putin say, hey, here's to you, Trump. And more of it. You think you don't know who you've run into. And you know what? Trump has met his match in Putin. Trump has to face more resistance back home than Putin has to face back home. Putin's a trickster. He's a conniver. He's a schemer. He's also smart. And he's shrewd. And it may well be that he's playing Trump like a fiddle. But what are the media writing? Well, Trump said, if we don't emerge with a ceasefire, severe sanctions. Are there severe sanctions? Of course not. He resets the clock when things don't work out. He would not have to do that if he would just shut his mouth. And not, like I said last week, talk like one who is taking off his armor, meaning we just won the battle, when he hasn't yet put on the armor, meaning you haven't engaged in the fight yet. That's from the book of 1 Kings. So they're writing about him. He's gutless. They said he chickened out on the sanctions and the severe penalties. So I said every time he makes a promise, says something, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. The guy needs to quit working so hard for the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, he really does. He really shouldn't do that. I mean, I understand. Well, first of all, it says in Philippians, I think it's 3. No. I think it's Proverbs 27, where it says, you know, let another man sing your praises. Don't you do it yourself. In fact, he even says after that, it says, let a stranger exalt you and not something from your own lips. So Proverbs wants this to be so cleansed in how you are lauded and exalted that absolutely can't come from your own lips, but it should come from a stranger. So it should come from somebody who's not even close to you, somebody you don't even have a relationship. Let it come from, like it did the president of Rwanda, or all these priests that have broken Vatican rules and come out and said Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, Donald is, he came out the other day, he said, you know, I'm pretty low on the totem pole. I am just trying to get to heaven. Well, obviously, that's not a faith-based biblical way to heaven. You can, Scripture says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And Franklin Graham gave him a beautiful, sweet admonishment, Mr. President, on how you get to heaven. He's working hard to get this Nobel Peace Prize. Does he deserve it? Yeah, but he's not going to get it if he keeps talking about why he should get it. Well, I've solved 6 wars. Well, that's questionable because he overstates a lot of his own accomplishments. He just does. I love his policies. His attitude is something else sometimes. But he doesn't have peace. He doesn't have a ceasefire. And here's kind of the weird thing. And forgive me if I'm off on this. I want peace between Ukraine and Russia. But as it relates just to Donald Trump, only to Donald Trump, I sort of hope it doesn't happen. I hope it happens because of somebody else's efforts. I hope it happens because Melania gave Putin a letter. Remember the children. Think about the children that are dying. If it happens because Melania, and then doggone it, Donald, don't you come out and tell us that actually you wrote that letter and you made Melania give him that letter. Stay out of the credit lane, or else I'm not going to give you any credit. But if it happens that way, glory hallelujah. But I don't want it to happen, oddly enough, as I said, only as it relates to Donald Trump's salvation. I hope it doesn't happen because of his efforts. Because he needs to see you can't work your way into heaven. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Donald, you've done a lot of great things, but unless you believe in the sacrificial atonement that the blood of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you confess with your heart, as it says in Romans, unless you do that, you won't be saved. So let another man praise you, let another stranger, let another actually be the key to peace. And you come to heaven the right way. There are other things for you to do. And I wish I could get this message to Trump, because I love him. I don't love his attitude on certain things. But the fact of the matter is, if Donald Trump never accomplished any peace among any of these countries that he says that he has, and to varying extents he has, some more so and less so. The fact that the scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize for all of his attempts if he never accomplished any of them. Contrast that with Barack Hussein, who didn't do anything except get elected as a guy who was half black and half Irish. That's all he did. You don't get it as a community organizer, that's for sure. And he didn't attempt any of those things. Trump has tirelessly been attempted to stop the killing. He's open about it. He should get it. It's why all these priests are coming out and saying he should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Not for what he's done, some of what for he's done, but all he's trying to do more than anybody else. Hey, God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ, and we will see you next week.